Now, if you'll notice here what he says, and I'm moving rather slowly because this is so important here. Verse 15, I'm reading that now. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, he came down to this earth, took upon himself our humanity, became lower than an angel, because he says now in verse 16, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, when he came down in the likeness of man, it was a real likeness to man, and he came right down where the rubber meets the road today. He could have been born in the palace of a Caesar. He wasn't born there. He was born in real poverty. He was born in a stable back of an inn. Why? So that he could come down and be actually in the likeness of man, that he might know something of the effect of sin on humanity. And where do you see it today? Well, you see it in poverty. You see it in temptation today. And you see it in violent and unmerited death today. That's where you see sin manifested. I think it's tragic in this hour. Innocent people here in Pasadena some time ago, a dear, talented Christian woman, an outstanding artist, up in her 80s now, followed home by some teenager and cruelly and brutally murdered there. How terrible it was. And nothing was done about it, my friend. Nothing has been done about it. Thank God he's going to make things right someday. There's got to be an accounting somewhere today. And he's the one that's going to do that. So he came down and he knew what real poverty was during World War I. I went through El Paso on the train, and before we got in, the Pullman conductor came in and said, "Don't any of you get off here, because there are people in that station that have been there a week, and they can't get out, and they're desperate, and they'll come in if you get out and sit in your seat, and they won't leave. And so you stay right there." And so we stayed right there. And so when the train started up, I went out to the vestibule, and the conductor was there, and I asked him about it. He went into the station. I didn't. He said, "Why, there are people in there that have been in there for a week. They're camping. They want to get out." It was during the war. You remember a young couple would come there, and he'd be shipped out overnight, and she'd be left stranded. She couldn't get back to her people and just wait there in the station. He said to me, he says, "You know that there was a little boy that was born there the other night. Right in that station." Imagine being born there. That little fella's a great big fella. Now, and I sure hope somebody's told him about Jesus. He got caught like that too, you remember? The old Caesar made a tax bill that everybody had to go and enroll to be taxed. And his mother, Mary, had to go to Bethlehem, and there wasn't any room in the inn. And he's born in a stable. He sure could sympathize. That fellow today born in a Union Station, wouldn't he? The Lord Jesus came down, and he's able to sympathize with you and me today. I don't care who you are, where you are. He knows you, and he understands you, not just because he's God, but because he became a man, and he knows exactly what you and I are going through today. Now, even today, there's a great deal of poverty in that land, especially among the Arabs. My heart goes out to the refugees there today. We can't condone the rash acts that they have committed and murder and that sort of thing. But did you know that they've been living since 1948? They've been living in these refugee camps, and it's absolutely horrible the way they've had to live there. And even their own brethren, the other Arabs have not permitted them to get integrated among the people. They've been confined to those camps. And all that our nation's ever done is poured in dollars. You know, we've had the insane notion now for years that the American dollar is a god, and that somehow or another that god can solve every problem if you just got enough of them. And my friends, you're going to have a whole lot of them these days, because I'm not sure what god is the one that devalued the dollar. We thought too much of it. And I found out that in traveling in countries in Europe and in Asia and in Africa, that the American dollar is not as big and as important as it once was. This god's been knocked off his pedestal, by the way. And those dollars that we sent over there never helped these people. It's too bad that we have had to send guns and dollars. And guns and dollars have not solved any problems anywhere. But that which we've begun to despise as a nation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it has brought blessing wherever it's gone, by the way. And it's too bad that we didn't get over there first. You remember it was Perry, when he opened up Japan, said, send 1 million Bibles over here, and if you don't, you're going to have to send 1 million men to fight. Well, we didn't send the Bibles, but we sure did send the men. And General Douglas MacArthur said the same thing. And we really fought a long war in Vietnam, didn't we? Too bad we don't send Bibles and missionaries and get the Word of God out today. We think we're practical. We're very pragmatic. And our dollars and our know-how and our science, it hasn't solved problems anywhere, friends. It's given people running water and giving them a bathtub and a commode on the inside the house. But that doesn't solve problems, you see. Today, we need to get the Word of God out. How important that is. Oh, how important that is. Now, let me come back to this. You say you've digressed. I hope that wasn't a digression. I hope that was very important. Now, listen to him in verse 17. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And he came in poverty. The poverty of the family Jesus came in is almost unspeakable, my friend. And he came down here among a subject people. They were under the heel of Rome. He wasn't born in a palace in Rome. He was born in a stable down in Bethlehem. He was in all points made like unto his brethren. He became one of them. You'd seen that little boy playing up yonder in Bethlehem and with a little ragged garment on. You'd never known who he was. These artists that paint him and he stands out as if he's some bright cameo. He was probably a dirty-faced little boy that played up there. He's made like unto his brethren, my friend. In emphasizing the deity of Christ, we are in danger of underestimating the humanity of Jesus. My friend, he was a real human being brought up there. And I want to say to you, I'm happy that I was not born in Bethlehem. I'm delighted I was not raised in Nazareth. I want to tell you, even today, they don't have too much of a chance there. And think what it was in Jesus' day. Not much of a chance. But he became a real human being, friends. He's the root out of a dry ground. If you went out here in Arizona and saw this iceberg lettuce ahead of it growing, you'd think that is a miracle, and it would be. It's sure a miracle to think that out of that background he came. He was a real human being, and you've never had a thought. You've never suffered anything. He doesn't already know all about, and for that reason, he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make not reconciliation, but propitiation for the sins of the people. He made a mercy seat for you and me to come to today. And that's what we need, is mercy. And God has a great deal of it, because Jesus made a mercy seat, and you can go there and get all the mercy you need. And I don't know about you, but I sure need a whole lot of it. And after I've used up a great deal of it, there's still plenty of it for you today. He made a mercy seat for the sins of the people. And that's the place and the only place today you can get mercy.